Good day, and welcome to a special edition of Good Heavens with Ryan Evans, your minimum monthly requirement for astrological observation and edification. Welcome to your new year, streamers, those whistle things, fireworks, yay, you did it, you made it, you're here. Now what? Well, welcome to the key point of today's fantastic, edifying, and deeply enriching experience in observational astrology or seasonal archetypology. Hey, let's call it something else, like being a natural human living in harmony with nature. Yeah. Or we can call it a human's attunement to the rhythms and the pulses of the universe and getting a surfboard and riding the wave of that impulse. Yeah, that's what we can call it. I don't really like to call it astrology. It makes me think that the planets and these things outside of us have some sort of control over us. I mean, it's pretty easy to think about, right? Oh, here comes the moon, and it's doing this thing. It's getting really close to the Earth, and it's having an effect on the tides. Ooh, there it is. The moon is causing something. And therefore, since we're astrologers, we can say, oh, well, Saturn is causing something. Oh, here's Jupiter squaring Saturn. That's making something happen. And the way that I like to look at astrology is that that's complete nonsense. If that were true, then we would have no free will. If that were true, then we'd be in a lot of trouble. We'd be, what would we call that, automatons? It would be robots. Or, you know, maybe we could be something awesome like a tree or a flower, and they just grow. They just do their thing. It's amazing. They are so incredibly intelligent. In fact, if we think about it, a tree is infinitely more intelligent than a human. It knows what it's doing. It can take care of itself. It's not like it has to go to the post office. Doesn't have to fill up a gas tank. It just sits there and grows and does its thing and then produces more seeds and then passes on and those seeds grow. It's very simple, very wise, very intelligent. So the next time you look at a blade of grass, you know, a tree or like a river, whatever you do, don't think, oh, that's nature. That's so far below the heightened evolution of my magnificent human brain. We humans are running around going, what the heck? Where am I going? Oh, geez, let me blow up this other country because I need more oil. Blah, 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 blah. Trees don't do that. They just grow. And sure, they'll compete for sunlight and nutrients and stuff, but that's a very simple process in nature. It's more happenstance. Well, we just happen to grow here right next to each other, and I have a little hook on this manure, and that's feeding me a little stronger, so sorry, you know, what can I say? It's my job to grow. That's very simple for a tree. Us humans, we need reminding. We need a little bit of a, hey, remember your cycle? Remember your rhythm? Remember the flow? Remember to breathe out before you breathe in? And then you breathe in and then breathe out. It's this awesome rhythm and cycle. Follow that. And we humans are like, no, it's January. I have to plant corn. No, I have to do this one thing for me and forget everybody else. I don't care if it's summer, I'm going into hibernation. I mean, we humans have a penchant for trying to go against the flow of nature. Again, we've got free will. We can. We know how to cover metal hoops in plastic and put a heater on the inside of it. We can grow corn in January if we want. We, in our magic and power, have sought to control and dominate nature with some success. Boy, we can, you know, modify that weather. We can create some clouds. We can plant corn in January in the greenhouse. We can trick it into thinking it's summer with artificial lighting and heating. Muhahaha. Humans have control, and control over nature has separated us from nature. And that's why I, Ryan Evans, am on a mission to reintegrate our human relationship with nature. How do we do that? Well, organic farming is definitely one way. Permaculture, wow, what another beautiful way. What about our mind? What about our heart? What about that free will part of us that wants to change or adapt or augment or improvise? How do we talk to that part? We talk to that part with the astrology. Well, how do we do that, Ryan? It's so easy. It's so simple. It's called humans are animals existing on the planet Earth. That's right. We start with planet Earth. And on planet Earth, there are things that occur independent of humans' projection upon it. It just happens. Take humans out of the equation, the Earth is still going to do its thing. Well, what's the Earth's thing? Well, here in the Northern Hemisphere, in the place from which all modern culture originates, here in the north, we have these seasons, and these seasons dictate and determine a growth cycle. Yeah, that's right, a growth cycle in nature. Very simple. The sunflower germinates, it pops out of the ground, it comes into full bloom, it sets seed, and the seed goes back to the earth, where it germinates and then pops out of the ground. The cycle goes on and on and on. That simple cycle, right there. If you understand that process, and if you really, really deeply understand that process, like you've been a farmer or a gardener, biologist, or someone who lives really closely with nature, you understand the entirety of the process. Now make it into a poem. Yeah, and now project that poem onto our human existence. There you go. That's astrology. So we start with the growth cycle of nature. Again, it happens independent of humans. And then you throw us crazy humans into the mix, and what do you have? You have survival adaptations and motivations. Okay, here we are, and it's cold. I suppose I'd better get some wood and burn it. Then I can stay warm and survive. You now know everything there is to know about Capricorn season and Saturn. That's right. It's written on the cells of your body. You know intuitively, you know physically, that you don't plant corn in frozen ground in January. That's obvious. That's astrology. Saturn, the god of limitations and boundaries, says no. No, you cannot plant corn in January. Saturn rules the season of Capricorn. Capricorn begins winter solstice and is at play throughout most of January. In fact, Aquarius season is also ruled by Saturn, so winter is Saturn. Sorry, buddy. You can't plant corn. And we can respond to that. Oh my God, I can't plant corn, but I want to go play in the ocean. I want to go swimming, but it's January in Wisconsin. And, you know, unless you're going to do the Wim Hof thing, you ain't going swimming in January. Now, you know, that being said, I would highly recommend it because, you know, immune response and all that. But other than that, It's just, no, you're not living in accordance with the cycles and rhythms of nature. And so when we understand the simplicity of, no, you're not living in accordance with the cycles and rhythms of nature by planting corn in January, then you know everything about Saturn that says, no, you cannot jump off that cliff without a parachute or a hang glider. It's very simple. Gravity exists, and cause and effect in this three-dimensional world exists. So how do we apply this? We come up to a time in our life where our Saturn and our birth chart is being triggered, or Saturn is doing something in the sky, having an effect with us. That's another part of our birth chart. We're feeling a Saturn time. And if we're having a Saturn experience, a Saturn aspect, Saturn is square my Saturn. I'm 29 and it's my Saturn return. People have told me all about this. What do I do? It's very simple. You listen to WDRT 91.9 FM, WDRT.org. All of your problems will be solved. And so we come to a Saturn time, like a Saturn return, and what's the wisdom? What's the obvious natural correlate? Well, Saturn, like we said, is the ruler of Capricorn and Aquarius, and we're looking at winter, and what are our ancient survival motivations? What are our ancient survival adaptations to that season? Take the astrology out of it. Oh, Saturn, whatever, man. What do you got to do? Well, you're not going to plant corn. You're going to have your wood stacked. And hopefully, in Virgo season, you canned up all your beans and you're living like a king, eating all the yummy food you harvested then. Thanks, Taurus season, for planting it. So, grand earth trine. Taurus plants the seed. Virgo harvests the plant, and Capricorn is sustained from that as it plans what to plant in Taurus season. And the Earth trine, that cycle of Earth, that rhythm of Earth, goes around the year, goes around our chart, goes around like a spiral, not a circle, taking us upward and upward and upward in our growth and evolution through learning these particular processes akin to the responsibility, focus, and commitment needed to survive in winter. So we say thanks, Saturn. See how that works? And so Saturn has an effect on a place in our birth chart, or our natal Saturn is being triggered. And so then the astrological correlate is to adopt a mode of engagement, perception, and feeling that is synonymous with our ancient survival motivations from, you know, back in when we had to survive in wintertime. I mean, not like we don't now. But hey, we just flip a switch and it's 72 degrees, right? Didn't always used to be that way, kids and campers. And our memory of that is written on our DNA. We know on a very, very, on a cellular level, we know that winter time is a time for being conservative, for being austere, for not crying and whining about the fact that it's not summer. Now, we can take trips. We can fly off to South Africa and bask in the waters of Hermanus and, you know, go see the white lions. It's summertime there. But then we got to come back here to Wisconsin where it's going to be cold again. And so ultimately, we can't escape the fact that we are connected to a rhythm and a cycle. So a Saturn thing comes along, we're asked to remember the feeling in and actions in our body that are relative to the season of winter. That's how astrology works. Astrology is written on the cells of your body. ain't some magic beam from Saturn. It's our having projected that meaning, our having beamed that meaning onto Saturn. Crazy. And the way quantum entanglement works is that when you project meaning and meaning and meaning and meaning and meaning onto this thing and you call it something that, and the moon is the goddess and it's the goddess and it's the goddess for 60, 70, I don't know, 200,000 years, eventually that's going to become the goddess. Why? Because of quantum entanglement and human intention. And we're powerful co-creators in this universe. Oh, prove that. Well, the computer. Somebody imagined that and brought it into existence. And now we have all of these technological marvels. Why? Because we're conscious co-creators in the universe. Why? Because God wanted to see plastic. God's like, I have no idea. I can't figure that out. Plastic. I mean, I can make diamonds. I can make gold. I can make granite. But plastic, I don't have that figured out. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make these humans. They'll be able to figure it out. George Carlin. The reason humans exist is because God wanted to see plastic. That's how amazing we are. We can make plastic. God can't make plastic. We made plastic. What else can we make? Now, that could be a trigger for something, because then people say, well, we've created a society full of, oh, I don't know, injustice, imbalance, you know, prejudice, sexism, racism. I mean, it's thick. If we are conscious co-creators of the universe, creating things that God couldn't even create, like plastic, some of us may be wondering, what are we doing with this earth? Oh my God, we're having these stupid wars over oil. Oh my God, it's been going on since World War I. Germany wanted to build the pipeline to Iraq, Iran. Guess who stepped in and said no? The British. Their banks were on the verge of collapse right before World War I. They said, oh, let's have a war. That'll fix it. And it did for a little while. For them. But now here we are. Echo, 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 echo. Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was. And we humans can do better. So welcome to our new moon in Capricorn, where we get to set an intention this year of doing better. Because we humans, it's time for us to grow up. We've actually, honestly, been, myself included, been a bunch of babies crying and whining about the winter. Oh, the politics are so bad. Oh, our government leaders are so poor. Oh, the taxes. Oh, the war. Oh, these problems in the earth. Why doesn't somebody stop it? Well, guess what? Look in the mirror. And that's where we are right now. There ain't no leader gonna save us. There ain't no divine intervention. And while I might pray for it, for good or ill, I don't know that there's necessarily going to be some alien invasion saying, all right, humans, you're part of a galactic community, so shape up. I think if anything, they're waiting for us to shape up before they say, hey, you're part of a galactic community. Now, I have a belief. It is a belief. I will own it as belief because I don't have a signed autograph from one of them, but it is a belief that no way are we alone in this universe. I would completely be like, oh yeah, that's pretty typical. If someone were to say we are being watched and monitored to make sure we don't destroy this Earth, which is a very essential point in the grid of the galactic balance and harmony energetically throughout the universe. I mean, you know, I could surmise that, but I don't know. Space Force knows, but I don't know. Maybe, I'd like to believe it. But even that is us humans going, oh, we're all messed up. I need somebody to save me. Save me, give me a little pill or give me a shot of something or just to take it all away. Calgon. But that ain't what's going on, yo. We are in freaking winter time here in the Northern Hemisphere and in the season of Capricorn. And in the season of Capricorn, in the winter time, it is imperative that we have an awareness of the fragility of life, of the sacredness of life. So let's back up for a second. You might be listening to this on the day of the new moon, maybe after. So let's back up. Let's go back into December. Let's go back into Sagittarius season. And in Sagittarius season, what we want, Sagittarius, the last season, what we want is enough, just enough retrospection where we integrate whatever we have learned into a cosmology that serves us in the present moment and in the future. This is where Sagittarius gets its future-oriented analogies. Because actually what's going on, and many Sagges won't even admit this, but we're looking back. We're looking at the past. We're looking back at Capricorn. What was our intention for that year? Like going back to 2024, what was my intention for 2024 Capricorn season? All right, how was I able to innovate and diversify Aquarius season? How was I able to inspire myself and keep myself enthusiastic Pisces season? How was I able to find my power and my courage Aries season? How was I able to hone in and solidify my resources and my skills and my talents Taurus season? How was I able to gather all of the different clues and assemble the puzzle pieces as best as I can to make sense out of all the craziness of life in Gemini? And how could I stop in Cancer season and actually do some good healing? And in Leo season, how could I celebrate and find my joy? What was my right work? How did I get my stuff together in Virgo season? How did I find my balance and my equilibrium in Libra season? How did I integrate the fact that I am mortal in Scorpio season? And that's what we do in Sagittarius season. We take our life experience and we say, okay, this is what I've learned. And that kind of takes a second for some Sagittarians, and other Sagittarians are like, forget it, I don't care what I learned, I'm just going to the future. And that's where Sagittarius gets a bad rap. Where Sagittarius is just, oh, nope, I'm T, the past, woo, I learned what I could from it, and that doesn't really matter because I'm here now, so as Jim Morrison said, I'm going to get my kicks before the whole beep house goes up in flame. Shadow Sagittarius. But wise Sagittarius is like, all right, I'm here. Okay, what have I learned? All right, I've learned a whole great deal. I've learned that you don't put your finger in a socket. I've learned that you don't plant corn in January. I've learned that you don't wear a winter parka in Leo season. Okay, I learned a bunch of stuff. Now, what is that? And how do I now move forward with that? What is the meaning and the purpose of having lived all that, and how do I apply that meaning and purpose to next year's intention? Welcome to the synthesis. Welcome to the bridge between Sagittarius and Capricorn, the end of one year and the beginning of a next year. Because both look to the past just a little bit, and both look to the future. Little bit. So Sagittarius, you know, all right, I've learned this and I ain't making that mistake again. Yeehaw. And I'm going to go on an adventure and I'm going to learn all these things and I'm going to teach all these things, said Sagittarius. And then Capricorn comes along and says, all right, let's sift through that. Let's take a look at this cosmology. Let's take a look at this philosophy. what is superfluous, what is a pipe dream, what is just hyper-optimism, what's the reality? And the reality, it might be, all right, I'm going to learn these things, and I'm going to take this course, and I'm going to teach these things, and I'm going to set up my schedule so the classes are on these days. We take the dream and we do something with it. Your job, my job right now is to observe our existence as it is right now. Oh, but my leg is broken and I'm negative $10,000 in the bank. That's very possible. So we observe where we are right now and we call that the bottom of the mountain. Well, hey, Rye, I'm not at the bottom of the mountain. I just made 60 G's this last month and I'm sitting pretty getting ready to go on my yacht. That's great and awesome and beautiful. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to party and play all year? Is that your intention, just to whoop it up and yee-haw yourself through the year? That's fine. Some of us get to do that, but have you considered the ramifications? Have you considered the liabilities of such an intention? Awesome! That's what we want. That's what we want Capricorn to be about. Again, the winter time. It is winter. Chances are you're listening to this December 30th, maybe the first week of January. And if you live, say, where I do, chances are it's freaking cold. Now, I've lived in Sonoma County, California. Hey, does it get cold there? Ooh, yeah, it might frost. Oh. Every once in a while, we hit 32 degrees. And my Minnesotan-born blood, you know, having vacationed and even lived for a while, the 50 miles south of the Canadian border. You know, I do most of my farming in the winter. You know, I harvest pussy willow in January and February. I'm not scared of the cold. But we get to Capricorn season. And if we're not scared of the cold, we better give it some freaking respect. We better say, you know, there's a blizzard outside, and as much as I would love to go to school, perhaps I will stay in the house. Now, that's beautiful and perfect. And if we have thought that out, and if we have made the correct accommodations, awesome. We call up work. We say, yo, I'm not coming to town. Call up school. School's closed anyways, so we're good. We got some hot chocolate. We got some lentil soup. We got Netflix. Oh my gosh, it is glorious and beautiful. And that's a mature decision. That's a conscious decision. We might have to make sacrifices. Oh, God, I got to call work and I'm not going to get paid today. But that's a conscious decision that I'm making for my safety and my children's safety. Why? Because that's wise and responsible. Thanks, Saturn. So now tell me how Saturn is bad. Oh, well, it's the Lord of blockages and challenge and hardship. And? Saturn says no, and it stops you. And? You know, in my Capricorn self, I'm still waiting to hear something bad or negative. Well, Saturn is depression. Yeah, Saturn can easily be depression. We can feel pressed if we're trying to plant corn in January. It's that simple. Oh, God, I can't. We allow our emotions to take over. Oh, God, I can't go to school today because, oh, Jesus, work is going to, oh, gosh, I'm going to lose my $150. And Capricorn? And Saturn say, all right, how am I going to teach this individual to quit whining? How am I, you know, what do I say? So Saturn comes up to us and says, you know, buck up, little camper. Saturn sits us down in front of old 1960s TV show, Father Knows Best. I mean, right there it is, Saturn, Father, eat your peas. Oh, I hate my father. He made me eat my peas. Are you healthy? Yes, I'm actually quite healthy. Well, I'm glad you ate your peas. And then we stop for a second and we say, oh gosh, maybe father wasn't so bad. Maybe father just wanted what was best for me by saying no. All I remember was my father saying, no, you can't jump off a cliff. No, you can't go to the rave when you're 16. No, you can't go to Guadalajara alone with $20. Ugh, stupid dad telling me no all the time. And then we get older. And we get more conservative. And then we tell our children to eat their peas. We tell our children, no, you cannot go to that adult rave at 16. And then we're all of a sudden the bad guy. Why? Because we learned. We learned that father knows best, at least in that situation. We learned that there was wisdom in eating our peas. And that's the wisdom of Saturn. That's the wisdom of winter. Now, this gets deeper. Oh, yeah. Oh, you thought I was done there. No, 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 no. No, no, no. Let's take this to a more... Ooh, I love it. I love this word. Let's take it to an esoteric level. Oh, geez, Ryan, here you're talking about Saturn and Capricorn reality and structure, and now you want to take it to some esoteric level. Yep, that's what I'm going to do. Why? Because we can do that. We've got imagination. We can imagine esoteric levels, spiritual realms. Why not talk about them as if they're real? I mean, the Easter Bunny was real until I was 8 years old. Santa Claus until I was 9. I mean, jeez. Those things were real. But here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And God said, let there be light. So, I know, I'm not trying to ruffle any feathers here. I'm just, you know, speaking conjecturally, making this up, not trying to go against anybody's belief system. It wouldn't be prudent. But let's just say that there was some truth in that. It takes vocal cords to make a sound. There has to be something for there to be a word. God said, let there be light. Okay, light. Where do you get that? You burn a tree. There's some light. Oh, pure energy. Well, what's that? There's either something, my friends, or there's nothing. Nothing? Well, there's no fire, there's no air, there's no water, there's no earth, it's nothing. It's not a something, it's a nothing. Fire, that's something. Air, that's something. Water, that's something too. I can feel water with my earthy hands. I can feel the air hit my earthy cheek. And Lord knows I can feel that fire burning my earthy skin. Make sense? Fire, air, water all exist in form. Earth is form. There is either form or there is formlessness. Oh, but energy is formless. No, energy can be qualified, quantified. We can put it in a box, send it along on a wire. That's form. And anything that has form is earth. And so, therefore, in the beginning was earth. In the beginning, there was nothing, and then magical being or something beyond that we can even freaking conceptualize, some dude on a chair, I don't know. But there was nothing, and then there was something. And as soon as there was something, there was earth. So nothing, and then earth, and then we can have all the air and the water and the fire that we want. And so in Ryan's system, from Ryan's point of view, I mean, not to, you know, tell you that this is the end all be all, this is my observation, and, you know, please try to prove me wrong, but it all begins with earth. It's a misnomer, it's wrong, it's a misperception, it might even be conspiratorial. Let's start the zodiac with yang fire, with male fire, masculine fire. It all starts with fire, right? Spirit, energy, yeah. Fire, male. It starts with men. God is a man, and therefore everyone else is subject to me. Well, yeah, I mean, the seed is important. It fertilizes the egg. But that egg, that's contained within the sacred goddess woman, and that's where the life is created and nurtured and grown there inside the woman. So, you know, we can make a case for the divine feminine being the incubator of the universe, the birther of the universe. So, I do believe, and it is a belief, that it may have been a conspiracy to start the astrological pantheon, the astrological archetypology with fire. That is erroneous from my point of view. I already described why. Fire is form. Fire is a form of earth. Water, a form of earth. Air, a form of earth. Everything begins with earth energy. And classically, earth, cardinal, earth, Capricorn. That's yin, feminine. In Ryan's system, the universe, the astrological symbology, the beginning of this next cycle and the end of one cycle begins in Capricorn, begins with winter solstice, the rebirth of the sun, and then the sun begins its journey up and then goes down again and hits the bottom there at winter solstice, which is actually the beginning, and the cycle goes around. So if we were to take that relatively esoteric point of view and reorient our whole entire cosmology from some dude saying, I'm creating the universe, to some some goddess birthing the universe from some magic place beyond that, well, then we could say that Capricorn is where we set the intention for everything else. Capricorn is the alpha and the omega, just like 91.9 FM WDRT.org. So yes, my friends, you heard it here first. Capricorn is the beginning of the zodiac. Capricorn is the beginning of the wheel, the spiral of the seasons. Capricorn is yin, feminine, earth. And so we take that and we apply that to our humanness And we say, okay, if the beginning, if the start is earth, what we're looking at the beginning of anything is intention, is choice, is commitment. An intention, healthy choice, wise choice, intention. It's Capricorn. So this new moon, my friends, very, very, very important. Why? Because it sets the tone for the rest of your year, the rest of our year. What do we want to see happen? What is our intention? What is the reason for our being? Why are we here? What are we here to do? To be or not to be? We be, we exist. Therefore, what are you going to do about it? Cry and whine? No, I want my blankie. Or are you going to get out and chop wood and carry water and stack the wood and feed the wood stove? Eat your beans? Oh, God, I'm out of beans. Oh, geez, and there's no snow out. Is there any garlic mustard? Yeah, here in Wisconsin, there's a ton of it. An invasive weed. But you know what? It's a survival food. Because chances are it might even be green outside in some places in Wisconsin in January. So we give thanks for the fact that the earth exists. And we look at our life and we say, all right, here is a foundational moment from which to begin. It's called the new year. It's called Capricorn season. What's it all about? What's my core intention? What is the reason for being? What do I want to see? Do I want to see happiness? Do I want to see joy? Do I want to see play and raspberries? Then plant raspberries. Then schedule your work so that you have Fridays off and can go do that play. You might have to work on Sundays, but hey, there are less people in the woods on Friday than Sunday, and so, you know, that kind of thing. What do you want your life to be? And the second that we inject a hyper-emotional reaction in that, as soon as we put a little fear or desire, a little grief or longing, a little anger or selfishness, that taints our intention, that sullies it, that weakens the mortar of the foundation of what we want to build this year. So the excuse me, beautiful thing about Capricorn season is it is the time, now is the time where we set a solid intention, where we bring our life back to its most basic, most core truths. And we say, all right, this is my bank account and this is how much money I make and how do I effectively budget it? As opposed to, oh my God, this is my bank account and how, Jesus, it's only so much money and how do I budget it? I have a penchant for the latter. I'm talking to myself here. But that's Capricorn season, where we say, no, wait a second. This is, all right, this is what I got. This is what I can do. And so we remove or omit any of the hyper-emotional reactivity to it. We look at just the very basics. I only have enough money for a foundation. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, maybe I'll get a job that will help me to pay for the rest of the castle. Problem solved. Conversely, oh, I only have enough money for the foundation. Oh, God, what am I going to do? Oh, geez, oh, God, I'm freezing in winter. Oh, everything sucks. Oh, I'm dying. There's depression and heaviness. And you see the difference there? Choose the former. And so now is, it's not a joke, you know, it's not like, oh, it's a New Year's resolution. Oh, I'm going to make it. I don't want to make a New Year's resolution. Oh, that's stupid. I don't even follow those anyways. Oh, what's the point? The point is now is the time astrologically to set the intention. Now is the time when I, as a farmer, look back over my last year and say, you know what, those zinnias, they rocked and rolled, but the celosia, that didn't sell very well. So I'm not going to grow as much celosia, and I'm going to double my production of zinnias. That's the choice that we make in Capricorn season. That's our intention, that's our job, that's our purpose, that's our duty right now. To say, all right, I want to double my production of zinnias. And then we say, all right, those zinnias are going to cost me $438. And then we look at our bank account and we have $862. And then we say, all right, I've got enough for those zinnias, but I don't have a lot more for everything else. And so then we have to make the calculations and the plans, and we say, all right, I'm going to reduce that by 30%, and I'm going to take this, and I'm going to put this over here, and I'm going to omit that celosia, but this one variety that was really profitable, I'm going to grow more of that. Okay, awesome. Let's order the seed. I'm going to order my soil. I'm going to make the repairs on my greenhouse so that in Aquarius season, I can start it up. And so we do all these things that are beautiful in Capricorn season called getting our stuff together and planning our year, constructing it, giving our year an outline. Well, Capricorn season, now looking ahead in wisdom, says, all right, I'm ordering the seed now. I'm going to fire up the greenhouse at the end of Aquarius season. And in Pisces season, I'm going to begin the marketing, and it's going to be kind of a dreamy oriented, and everybody's going to love it. And then in Aries season, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get more, I'm going to do more direct contact with the customer. We look at things that way in Capricorn season with logic and wisdom and maturity, focus, commitment. And the worst thing we can do right now is act out of fear, sorrow, or anger. Oh, those damn zinnias. Oh, I'm going to... Somebody else came along and tried to sell zinnias too, and so I'm going to have to increase my production and drop the prices and see what I can do to increase their sums better because I'm afraid of them taking my stuff and that might mean I'll die and not make it to next Capricorn season. Oh, so therefore, I'm going to have to be a jerk and get what's mine. No, don't do that. Please, don't do that. That is not why we are here. We're here to make this world into a beautiful garden. Because we have free will. Because we can do that. Because we can make plastic. And if we can make plastic, can we make that out of hemp oil as opposed to petroleum? Yes, we can. See how that works? And we make an intention, we decide to do something differently. We decide to do something more sustainably. And then guess what? It ends up working. And so, what do you want to see work this year for yourself? What do you want to see come actual this year? What does not work? What has what have you outgrown? What is useless? Blah. Don't intend for any of that this year. Instead, how hard can I work to make my dreams come true? How do I stay in alignment with my personal power and not give that power away? Where do I put my focus and my energy and my attention this year for maximum happiness and survival next Capricorn season? So, If you are a Capricorn, happy birthday. And know that this year, and this month especially, is about you taking your power back, being in your strength, allowing yourself to be the individual who gets to dictate the course of your life. So, good job, Capricorn. Keep up the good work. For those of you who are Aquarian, this is a very interesting time for you. Not only is Pluto transiting your sign for the next 20 years, hopefully increasing your power and not your fear. Please know that this is a time to set an intention for being in your power and not in your fear. It's called faith. So have faith. Set an intention to be solid, powerful, and committed to your gratitude, your faith, and your acceptance in the flow of the universe. Something that Pisces is usually professional at, but this is a time for if you are Pisces or Pisces rising. This is a month, maybe a year, but this is a month for you to imagine your best of all possible futures. And you, Pisces, astrologically are the dreamers and imaginers of the zodiac. So, you know, everybody else, I'm saying, hey, get real. And for you Pisces, I'm saying get real with your dreams. If you have built castles in the air, Pisces, your work need not be lost. That's where they belong, says Henry David Thoreau. Now build the foundations under them. You are building the foundations of your future, Pisces. Intend well. Aries, Aries rising. The world is a scary place, and your job is to enter the world, and whether that's the bank, the grocery store, the stage, or a professional advancement, your job is to own it. Your job is to, astrologically speaking, this year, this month, be in your power in the world and set an intention for fully declaring yourself. You don't need to hide. You have a right to take up space. And this, Aries, Aries rising, is a month and a year for that. Taurus. Taurus rising. Interested in going back to school? It could work. If you want to, you can. Otherwise, my suggestion is that you set an intention this month and this year for the expansion of your mind, the expansion of your heart, and the expansion of life experience. And that in itself will help you to feel more grounded and stable. So if you're going back to school, hey, good job. Keep up the good work. Gemini, Gemini rising. Intend, set an intention this month, this year, to clear the cobwebs, clean out the dungeon, and turn the compost of every wound you've ever had so that it can be healed once and for all. I'll keep it that simple. Cancer, Cancer rising. It's kind of tricky. You know, we Cancer rising individuals are here as healers. We're here as lovers. We're here to nurture and support the growth of love and creativity, family, connection, deep psychology. and being solid for other people is really important if we're a healer. We don't want to, you know, allow ourselves to be crushed under the weight of other people's problems, other people's challenges, other people's complexities. We have to be in a place of strength and power and wisdom if we are going to open our heart fully for the other. Intend to do that this month. We might be needed. Mars is retrograding back and forth through Leo and late Cancer. So for those of you who are Leo or Leo rising, this is a year or a month at least where my hope for you, I was going to say projection upon you, but my hope for you is that you 100% fully get your stuff together this month. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if you're like becoming more powerful or going to step into the role of leader. Maybe. And if you were, you want to be prepared for that. So I recommend that you prepare yourself for being in a position of greater leadership. I don't know. I just make this stuff up. Virgo rising. All right. Here it is, Virgo rising. You work so hard, you do so much, and are often quite unappreciated. So my projection upon you this year, this month, is that you be happy. And you do things to help yourself be happy and joyous and playful. Go recreate. Set an intention for recreating. That will help you get the work done that you know you need to do. Libra rising. Please set the intention this year, this month, to go deeply down, deeply into your heart, deeply into your past, into your psychology, into whatever has co-created you and your being, and look back over that development of your seedling self and see if in the past there were any developmental disruptions. Oh, here's where my parents or, you know, here's where family member created a wobble in my self-love. So it's deep, but Libra rising, please take your power back. Take your heart back. Find the strength and wisdom alive within your heart. And then from that, boom, from the inside, happiness emanates out. Scorpio rising. I'm going to say it just very quickly. Speak up. And do your best to speak up without excessive emotion, because there are also things that you need to hear. And in that speaking and listening with wisdom, solidity, and intention, all of the solutions will appear. Sagittarius rising, can you please look in the mirror and say, yes, I'm good enough. So intend to create a life based on that best of all possible individuals you are, and all will be well. Well, that's what I know this time, kids and campers. Thanks for playing along. This has been a production of WDRT.org, 91.9 FM. Thanks to Terry O'Connor for producing this program. And for more information, please find me on the web at www.ryanevansastrology.com. Thank you, and be well.